Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't know where to start. We're back in action for episode 190, and it's another movie episode.
Woohoo! I love a movie episode.
Yeah. Tell them what we watched for this week.
We watched What a Way to Go.
What a Way to Go. 1964, directed by J. Lee Thompson, and featuring a star-studded cast.
Seriously. Very star-studded.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about that one in 1 second. We wanted to watch something a little more fun after we had to think so much last week with the Face of Another. And I realized it after. I was correcting myself the whole episode, saying Face of Another instead of The Face of Another. Turns out it was The Face of Another.
Oh, that's
funny. So I sound like a fool across the whole episode.
All right.
But when do I not? Am I right?
Whatever.
So yeah, we'll get into What a Way to Go in just a moment. Before that, how is your week been?
Pretty good so far. My semester is over. Finally, I didn't really finish it until the wee hours of Monday morning. I had a couple final things to grade that needed, like, the grades for them needed to be posted by, like, first thing Monday morning. So I stayed way too late on Sunday finishing them because I was just so burnt out on grading stuff. But it's finally over, but it doesn't really feel over yet. It's only Tuesday right now, and I just finished on Monday. So I guess I just kind of finished yesterday.
Mm.
And this morning I woke up and was like, oh my God, I probably have so much stuff to do. Like, I was still just sort of in the same, like, stress response. And then I had to be like, no, you don't. Actually, you just have to watch a movie for the podcast, and that's fine. You're going to be all right. So I don't know when I will start to feel like I'm in summer mode, but I did have a really good weekend because I got to see my family. I went down to the Springs for Mother's Day, and I love my family. And last night, my brother came up to Fort Collins for the first time in, like, so long to do an open mic night at the Comedy Fort. And he did so good. Me and Adam went and saw him, and he was, like, objectively one of the best people of, like, the 30 people who went up, which was great. And everyone was cracking up, and he did tell a joke about me. It was, sister's here. Her name is Addie, but you could also call her the reason our parents got divorced. Which was pretty rude. But yeah, it was just so much fun. And then he came and stayed the night at my house for the first time ever, which was just such a blast to have him here and see him in his element and thriving. That's awesome.
His element. Yeah, that is awesome.
So yeah, I'm doing good. How are you?
Was it at the Comedy Fort?
Yes, it was.
You want to give a quick shout out to the Comedy Fort?
Yeah, the Comedy Fort is Northern Colorado's absolute best comedy club. It's here in Fort Collins in Old Town, and it is owned by my cousin David, who is so, so funny and who I love so much. And they always, every day of the week, they have really fun events going on, whether it's like an open mic that you can go to for free, or sometimes they get like pretty big headliners, and it's awesome. I always just have such a blast there. Check it out.
Nice. Just a quick point. It's the morning for you, so maybe by the end of today, Tuesday, you'll be in a more easygoing mood.
I really hope that you're right about that.
We'll see. It's just been like a 24-hour cycle. So
true. That's true. I need to give myself more time.
Yeah. After a little bit, I'm sure it'll work out.
Yeah.
As you may notice from the episode icon, I cut my hair.
I know, and it looks great.
It's weird that it's brown, because here lately I've just been dyeing my hair like automatically, immediately. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to again once it grows out long enough. But because I like having black hair better, I realize.
Me too.
So
me too. It's just that once you go black, you never go back.
Exactly. You know what? There you have it. It's getting towards the end of times here. and I'm starting to kind of realize things are starting to wrap up at school. Yeah. I was part of the panel to choose who gets to speak at graduation.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool because they're doing, I don't know if they're going to do like their whole speech in English and then in Spanish, or if like, because I guess this was an assignment for the advanced English class.
Oh, I see.
So they did them in English, and I was not around for this whole process because a different one of the assistants was working on it up until this point. But myself and her and a bunch of the teachers sat all up in a room today and listened to everyone do their speech and worked to choose that's the awesome. One that's going to do it. So I don't know what follows from here, because I'm jumping into this project at the last minute, but I offered to help out with the guy who is going to do it. So we'll see.
Oh, nice. That sounds so fun.
Yeah. But it just kind of hit me, because between that and having to sign all of my receipts for having gotten paid, which I was supposed, apparently seems like I was supposed to have been doing this every month, but they just sent all of them to me now.
That's funny.
Including the one for next month. So I don't know what the deal is with all of that. But it's just kind of starting to hit me. I paid my last month of rent.
Crazy.
So I only have about 2 months total left here.
It feels like it happened so fast.
Yeah, I agree. But I booked another trip today.
Nice.
So now I have a nice slate of different stuff. When I realized that I would have a full month of payment that I didn't have to pay rent with, mm-hmm. the majority of that money, I said, you know what, time to book some more travel.
So, I'm gonna have
a very busy late, pretty much middle of June to when I come home. I'll be busy.
That's amazing.
So I'm actually really excited about it, because I feel like this is a thing that a lot of people do. At least a lot of people that I know have kind of gone on like a European tour and have hit all of like the big cities and, you know, just gone everywhere. And that's something that I never had really done. So now I'm kind of taking advantage of this opportunity to go to a lot of places. And it's not necessarily the big ones that everyone goes to, but it's distinctly tailored to myself. It's Evan. I was going to say flavored, but I don't like the way that sounds. it's like a very me trip, because it's all going to be solo travel and I can choose exactly where I want to go.
That's so awesome.
And so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, you should be. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I can't wait to hear about all of it.
Yeah, it's should be an exciting time.
Good.
That'll be coming right up.
Good.
Before I realize.
True.
So that's what I got going on.
Nice.
I gotta say, there was once again no mailbag entries for this week.
Ay, ay, ay.
But I want to do something with this little segment section of the episode.
Okay.
Anyways, so I think if no one puts in stuff for the mailbag, if someone does put something in the mailbag, we respond to it in this portion of the episode. If no one puts to the mailbag, it can be kind of like I don't know what you would call it, but like, you know how at the end of magazines, the editor just like writes about whatever for a page?
Sure.
On the last page, I think it could be like an editorial kind of space for us to just do whatever.
Okay, I like that.
So I remember that back at the beginning of this podcast, or maybe not right at the beginning, but earlier on, I used to do this thing where I would come up with like some recommendation based on a theme of three different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to try to bring that back a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember that.
Yeah. So I want to kind of, you know, it's an opportunity for me to, you know, bring something else in and give some more recs.
Cool.
So I did, this is a pretty simple one for this week. to get back in the swing of things. But earlier today, the teaser trailer for Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis came out, and it looks insane. I am so excited to watch this whenever it comes out.
Nice.
Francis Ford Coppola, we watched one of his movies for the podcast, Dracula, or Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I was looking through his filmography, and although he's made a few features since then, that was pretty much his last big budget movie, like one that I've even heard of.
That's crazy.
And that came out 32 years ago.
But wow, that is really wild.
So he basically sold, I think, as far as I've like surmised from reading like comments and stuff, he basically sold his wine company in order to make this movie.
Wow.
So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
But my three recommendations are just three movies that I think an amalgamation of them would match the vibe of what Megalopolis looks like from the trailer. So Francis Ford Coppola, if you're not familiar, is one of the big guys of New Hollywood movement of the 70s. I got to go with something from Coppola himself. And I just talked about it last month on the wrap up. It's Apocalypse Now. I think everyone needs to see this movie because I think it's one of the most impressive things ever made. Another one where Coppola went all out and paid so much money to make. And this one, it paid off. Because it made back a lot. But yeah, Apocalypse Now, very impressive. I also want to recommend Nashville, another one of my favorites that I've talked about a billion times on this podcast.
Two that I've had on my list for so long. I need to finally watch them.
But Nashville is another one that I think is one of the most impressive movies I've ever seen. That one's directed by Robert Altman, another key figure of the New Hollywood. The last one I want to do is Brazil by Terry Gilliam, which is kind of a dystopian, maybe dark comedy. I don't know if it's loosely based off of 1984 or not, but I think there's a lot of similarities between Brazil and 1984, the book by George Orwell.
Okay, cool.
But I think Brazil is very fun. And I think if you kind of smush all of those together, it's kind of comes up with the vibe that Megalopolis looks like based off of the minute and a half teaser that came out today. So there you go. That's my editorial corner for this week.
Nice. So
the three recs, I think I'm going to try to bring back, and anything that you want to bring to your editorial week in, week out. It doesn't have to be anything consistent, just anything fun.
Okay.
Feel free.
Very fun. I have not yet watched the teaser for Megalopolis, but I'm going to right when we're done with this. And I love that name. Sometimes I have this like imaginary commune in my mind, and it is called Apollopolis. So me and Francis Ford Coppola, we have similar taste.
Nice. Sounds good. Another idea just quickly for the post or the mailbag is that if you want us to recommend you something based off of certain criteria, I think that could be fun.
That would be fun.
There's this account that I follow on, I guess, Instagram, but she's on other social media too, that just asks for requests. And then she looks at people's letterbox top four and recommends them movies based on that and gives like justification in that. That's actually one of her videos is where I first saw the idea of watching What a Way to Go, which we watched today. Actually, let me plug that account. I think it's Movie Rex by Lex.
That's cute.
Yeah, she's very cool and I would recommend. But anyways, if you want to just kind of send in something, some sort of criteria and ask for some Rex from us, I think that would be a cool thing to put in the mailbag.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, but feel free to say whatever in the mailbag. interact with us and we address it here on the episodes.
Nice.
All right. So now with all that being accounted for, let's move on to our feature presentation of the week. What a way to go. Yeah. So this is one that was put on a collection of Shirley MacLaine movies on the Criterion channel. Because she just turned 90 years old. Happy birthday,
Shirley. Happy birthday, Shirley.
Once again. But this is one that I feel like I've been hearing a lot more about lately as a result. And I think it's kind of an underseen gem and is quite fun.
I agree. After I watched it, I was looking up. I just looked up like What a Way to Go outfits, because that's really kind of a crazy part of this movie. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that Vogue had published a whole article about this movie when the Met Gala's theme was camp. And they were calling it like the campiest movie you've probably never seen. And I was like, that's so true. Yeah. So campy. And so many people have never seen it. I've never even heard of it until we watched it. But yeah, I thought that was funny. And yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Vogue.
Yeah.
What a way to go. A quick point before we get into it. Dick Van Dyke is in this movie.
Yeah.
He's still alive. We're making a big fuss about Shirley MacLaine turning 90. Dick Van Dyke is 98 years old.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
I just wanted to point that out because I was wondering about that. I was like, I didn't know if he was still alive, first of all.
Yeah.
And how old is he? But yeah.
98. That's crazy. I wonder what he's doing. Just chilling.
Yeah. I think everyone else in this movie, probably most everyone else in this movie, is probably dead.
Including my beloved Paul Newman.
But yeah, let's get into it. What were your overall thoughts on this
one? I loved it. It was so awesome. I felt like it was like made for me. Like it just featured a lot of things that I liked. And I didn't go into it knowing anything at all. Well, I mean, I knew that like she had four husbands that died along the way. And already I was like, okay, sold. But that was really fun. But then the longer it went on, the more and more I was like, this is just a camp masterpiece. It's so funny. The outfits are so incredible. Oh my God. Just really, there's a whole outfit montage in the time when she's rich and it went crazy. They were so good. They really knew what they were doing. And also I had no idea that Paul Newman was in this movie and I seriously love him. And when he's talking at first with his feet, like up in the cab, you know, and you mm-hmm. don't see him, you don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. If you're me and you didn't go into this knowing who anybody was. And he's just talking to her. And I was like, God, this guy has a hot voice. And then he sits up and shows this beautiful face. And I was like, Paul Newman, the love of my life.
It
was
Paul Newman. What are you doing here?
Yeah. I love him. That was like my favorite part of the movie was her relationship with Paul Newman. Actually, for most of this movie, I was like thinking it was going to be a solid 8 out of 10 for me. Like I was like, I'm having a blast. It reminds me of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. But I like that movie better than this one. But then towards the end, they do that huge dance number. And that really pushed it over. I was like, oh, it's a 9 out of 10 now. That was amazing. I love a dance number. So yeah, all that to say, I loved it very much. I had so much fun watching it.
All right. Yeah, I told you you would like it.
I know you did. You know me so well.
Yeah, big fan of this one. I think that it's very like it holds up super well today, not just because it's campy, because I think it does a lot of fun stuff with like kind of poking fun at different film genres or movements and like different things with each kind of relationship. And I think that keeps it fresh throughout because
so too.
It could have gotten old because basically the same thing happens, you know, 4 times.
Right.
But the way that like each one is so kind of distinct and has its own kind of way of doing things, which is also just like matched super well to each of the actors playing the different husbands, that I think it's just work so well. And it's like, yeah, how come no one's talking about this? Or
too. And one of my favorite parts of the home, like the thing that kept it working for me, the same gimmick over and over, was like Louise's character and how well Shirley portrayed her, but just like the way that she just kind of gets on board with mm-hmm. whatever's going to happen and just falls in love so easily and is like genuinely having a blast no matter what, no matter where she is. I was like, I love her. Like I never stopped rooting for her the whole movie.
Yeah. And awesome. As she gets more and more, or like knows what's going to happen, more and more convinced of her curse or whatever.
Yeah.
So basically the premise is that she just wants a simple life with living with the man of her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds it for a little bit with each person, but then something happens in which case each husband gets wildly rich.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. They let the success get to their head and it's no longer a happy relationship before dying in some sort of absurd way and leaving her a bundle of money.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I think this trend is kind of bucked by our third husband, Robert Mitchum,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is interesting. I'm not sure why that relationship went differently than the others, especially because you kind of get a similar thing at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he's rich to start out with, and then they end up moving to the farm instead of basically he forgets to run the company and it triples in value, and he. Which was one of the funniest scenes. I thought Robert Mitchum was my favorite of the husbands.
Really? Mine was Paul Newman for sure.
Of course. But yeah.
Robert Mitchum was also, he was so funny.
He's just, I don't know. I feel like he hasn't been in a bad movie. Every movie I've seen him in has been one of my favorites. Come to think of it.
Yeah, I really like how they kind of introduce him to her storyline and she's like, okay, like this one's gonna work out because he's already rich. Like she's already had these two encounters that went the same way. And she's like, okay, I gotta mix things up. And then I think like that makes sense why she chose to do that. And also mm-hmm. it makes sense in terms of the campiness of the film, like because that's where we got to have the outfit montage, which was really important.
Yeah, very important.
And then, yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder how they're going to kill this guy off. And it was so funny when it turned out that he was three times richer now than he was even when they met. I loved that. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
That scene was so funny. And then the scene when he died, I saw the joke coming a mile away. And if you're watching the movie, you'll see the joke coming a mile away. But something about like the line delivery and just how ridiculous the death is. I'm not going to say even what happens, but because I think that's like one of the funniest, like unexpected moments. Cause that I was laughing the hardest then of any point in the movie, just cause it's like, it kind of comes out of nowhere. Cause you're like, okay. I mean, you do see it coming once the situation develops, mm-hmm. but they got their matching outfits on the farm. Maybe we'll finally have, I don't know, the simple life.
Right.
And then just her reaction to of just starting like breaking down, crying.
I know. That was so funny. I also laughed really hard at her reaction when her final husband finds oil. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
On their land.
As well as with Gene Kelly, when he starts... he does his performance in his normal clothes, right? And mm-hmm. everyone starts clapping that ignored him before.
Yeah.
And she starts and then she realizes and starts crying then too.
Yeah.
Basically her reactions as she starts to notice these patterns.
She is so funny.
Hilarious.
I love her.
I should point out Edith Head, by the way, did the costume designs, at least for all of Shirley MacLaine's outfits.
Oh, nice. She rushed it.
Yeah, she's
It just completely could not have been better.
Yeah, she basically did the costume design for everything ever.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure she would have done the costumes for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
I was just going to ask, but it felt kind of similar to me.
But this role was actually intended for Marilyn Monroe. But she obviously died before.
Damn, I would have loved that.
No, she didn't do Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. My mistake.
Bummer. That movie also really crushed it. Props to them.
It was Travilla.
Oh.
But he was nominated for a Shiner. I'm sure Edith Head was also nominated for a Shiner.
She'll definitely get a nomination from me this year. I'll tell you that.
Costume design for 458 films.
That's crazy.
Including those watched for the podcast, Double Indemnity.
Oh.
This one's not for the podcast, but Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid she did the costumes for. Vertigo, which is kind of a podcast movie.
Oh, the costumes in Vertigo were so good.
Yeah. The colors.
The colors, yeah. Wow, she knows her stuff.
Yeah, so many of these that I know, but I'm trying to remember which ones like we watched for the podcast specifically, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. But anyways, the costumes are like in a lot of ways the stars of this movie. The amount of different outfits she wears, and how well they convey the vibe of each kind of segment as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally
wonderful. Do we go husband by husband?
Sure, let's do that.
So we start off in the head shrinker's room. two weeks in a row with the psychoanalyst of dubious credentials.
Oh, there was some line that he said very early, like in like the first scene when they're first interacting about like what psychoanalysts do, that I was like, I have to bring that up on the podcast. That's hilarious that our last two movies have bizarre ideas of what a therapist does. And now I cannot remember what made me say that. I will have to go check later.
Would you rather have this guy or the guy from Face of Another, the Face of Another, as your doctor?
That's a great question.
Depends on what you're having trouble with, I would say.
True. Yeah, that's a great point. I don't think I would want to see this guy, though, because he asked if he was like, I love you, will you marry me? After one session, I'd be like, dude, you're a psycho.
In this hypothetical scenario, would you have $200 million in the bank, though, that you don't want anything to do with?
For sure. Well, I would not be trying to give it to the government, but...
I gotta say, if my face got burned off, I would go to this guy instead of the last one.
Okay.
I've seen what happens. Actually, that's interesting. What would the guy from the last movie do if Louisa May, Foster, Hopper, Flint, Anderson, Benson Crawley...
He'd probably be like, what you really just need is a whole new identity. Like, your identity's cursed. You want to get away from this money? Boy, do I have a solution for you. Whole new face. Start over.
Perfect. So husband by husband. Dick Van Dyke. Goofy guy.
So goofy. He was kind of annoying to me in this movie, and I don't really know why, but with him I was like, I'm kind of excited for this guy to die and for us to move on to the next one. I just didn't like that whole vibe. And then I think that the first one too was the most nonsensical to me. After that, their success I thought was funnier and like more inspired. But this one was just like, oh my God, there's one hole in the roof of my like obviously very dingy shed. Of course, it was going to get a hole in the roof. Let me just liquidate my entire store. And for some reason, that was wildly successful for him, like selling all of his stuff so quickly. She's like, we became millionaires overnight. And I'm like, girl, it did not. He had a corner store. What the hell are you talking about?
Hop to Hoppers.
Yeah. So I didn't love that one. That might be my favorite, actually.
Okay, interesting. It's funny how he goes from being like, I'm going to go into the store one day every 2 weeks and get stuff to go fishing.
Love that line when he's like, I'm going into the store. And she goes, but you were just there 10 days ago. Yeah.
I recently watched The Addams Family from 91.
Love that movie.
And for some reason, that line reminded me of that movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
All of Morticia's kind of goofy, like very macabre responses to stuff. Like,
I will say something I loved about the first husband, like that whole just series of events, is when she swims to him while he's fishing and is basically like, here I am, let's be together. That is hilarious. What a power move. She's like, I know what I want. And it's this guy in a boat and I'm just going to go get him.
It's the simple life.
I loved that.
Yeah, that scene was so fun, so cute.
Yeah, it was so cute.
Basically, I think as like the ridiculousness ramps up, you know, because you have the cold open where they're just in this pink house and the coffin just like zooms around. And then after that ridiculousness, it's like kind of grounded and like ratchets it up more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes from like a goofy comedy to like a farce, a campy farce, like as the longer it goes on, you know, with the crazy stuff that happens. And I thought that scene was like a very nice, like cute moment leading into their relationship.
I agree. It was really cute.
And the silent film sequence.
Yeah, that was funny.
Wonderful. I mentioned at the very beginning of that that each kind of the vibe of each little like segment really did well at kind of portraying whatever it was like spoofing or parodying. And that's like had the look and feel of like Charlie Chaplin, The Gold Rush, or like an early Buster Keaton short, which I've been watching a lot of for my 100 years project.
Nice.
But I thought that one was done well. And then he just became a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
There had to have been some cocaine involved there somewhere. There's no way he had that much energy naturally. And then she met husband number two, Paul Newman, the artist.
Gorgeous. That was so fun. That one was really, it felt really short, but it was, well, I don't know if it was my favorite because of the outfits of number three.
Some pretty fun outfits in this one.
There were some really fun outfits. I love that she kept wearing dresses that were like the same color as her tights. That was actually very inspiring to me. I took pictures and I was like, I gotta wear an outfit like that. Yeah.
You're bored now.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it because I love Paul Newman. He was my favorite husband, but also because it was such a different vibe from the one before. Like watching the Dick Van Dyke one, I was kind of nervous that like kind of knowing roughly the plot that like they were all going to be cursed by her to the same fate. I was nervous that we were going to meet another really goofy, simple man on a farm or whatever, another Thoreau loving guy. So when it was Paul Newman and he was a taxi driver in Paris and a struggling, starving artist, I was like, oh, this rocks. Like it really, that I loved it.
Like,
it was
perfect. Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
hell yeah. I'm in that.
Funnily enough, we have an American artist who's living in Paris and it's not Gene Kelly because that's basically the premise of An American in Paris.
Oh, that's funny.
Is that he's a painter living in Paris. They get Gene Kelly to be in the movie.
That's funny.
And then Paul Newman to basically be him from American in Paris. But I watched that movie not that long ago, and I don't remember too much of it except that the dance numbers, like the specific dance numbers. So That's basically the whole thing of American in Paris, is that he's an American painter in Paris. Just like Paul Newman. Fun.
Just like Paul Newman.
The little like montage homage scene is basically kind of based on the French New Wave in this one, which is interesting. Yeah. Cause this came out in 1964, and basically that whole shebang got kicked off kind of at the turn of the 1960s. So that's interesting that they were kind of, and that's part of like, I don't know if I said it at the beginning, but I was like, this feels like a little modern when they did that, because it definitely was like referencing what was going on in France at the time. I loved
that, the like movie themed montage for this one. It was so sexy, which was so like surprising. I was like, what the? We were like really shifted the tone of this movie.
From Dick Van Dyke to...
Yeah, see, Dick Van Dyke could never have done that scene.
To smaller and smaller bathtubs.
Yeah. So cute. I loved it.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Also, the line when he says... I can't remember how it starts, but he's like, six if you include Frida. Like, he's like, I'm one of the five artists that doesn't want to be an artist. Six if you include Frida. And she says, Frida? And he says, a chimp on my plot. And then it actually was. That was so funny.
Props to Frida.
Yeah, she was really funny.
She was the bridesmaid.
Yeah, that was so cute.
Funnily enough, the thing with the music, with the how Paul Newman got rich and famous, reminded me of the current issues that we're having with AI.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of that, but yeah, you're right.
But I was like, interesting.
It really is.
Very prescient in some ways. Basically, he built a machine that turns sound, takes sound waves and makes it like work these machines into painting. And he's basically making some noises to do it. And then Louis Sommet says, what if I put on a record? And the rest is history. Paul Newman actually killed by robots also.
Yeah.
if we're going down the line of the AI metaphor, a little chilling if you think about it.
It really was.
And then we get to Robert Mitchum, who's already rich.
Honestly, probably easily my second favorite husband, and maybe my first favorite storyline. Because again, like, they just totally switched the tone. And I loved that. Like, you get to the end of the Paul Newman story, and it's like, how is she going to meet another poor guy? And she doesn't. She meets a rich guy. And she lives a very luxurious life. A lush budget life.
Lush budget.
Keeps telling you.
That was so funny.
So fun. Like, I just love that whole sequence of events. Because of the outfits and also, like, the scenery. Like, when they're in these, like, really glitzy, glamorous hotels and casinos and stuff. And the people that they're interacting with. But also, like, they just seem genuinely in love. Like, their whole little bit of when they keep being like, remind me to tell you later that I love you, I was like, that's adorable.
That was adorable.
I was so on board with that relationship. And then also the part where they're laying together in that like giant glass of champagne.
I was about to mention that one. Yeah.
Loved it.
That's crazy. That was so hard.
That was awesome. Or maybe it was a martini. I can't remember. It depends on the shape of the glass.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't a champagne glass as far as like the shape, but it definitely it was a bubble. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was actually, when I was about to bring that up, and I was like, was it a champagne glass?
Yeah.
Call a spade a spade.
So yeah, I was really on board with that relationship too. Even though I was like, damn, I'm not going to like any of the next husbands as much as I like Paul Newman. I did. I was on board. I think that actually Dick Van Dyke was the only one that I was like, I don't like this relationship.
Mm.
even though, well, they did have that really cute scene when she swam over. So yeah. I don't know.
I blame Thoreau.
Yeah.
This is getting ahead of things, but I think arguably the most upsetting person that she marries is Dean Martin. I don't believe him as a romantic leading man.
That's so funny. What else have we seen? Honest.
I don't know, but the last movie I saw him in was Kiss Me Stupid, which is a Billy Wilder. Later in the career Billy Wilder that was basically like, what if cheating on your spouse was okay if it's just every once in a while?
Oh, right. I remember you talked about that.
Which he was just, I don't know. He was sleazy in that one in a fun way. But now I just feel like I just can't get that image of Dean Martin out of my head. But
I see.
He was a really good drunk singing cowboy in Howard Hawks's Rio Bravo. So
dude, that sounds awesome.
If you want to see a redeeming Dean Martin performance.
I liked him in this movie. By the end, anyway.
That's fair. Yeah, his mustache pissed me off. I don't know why. But I saw him with that mustache. I said, who the fuck is this guy?
I'm surprised that I came around to him more than you did by the end. Because usually I cannot get on board with an enemies to lovers type of situation. But it really worked for me in this one. Not to get ahead of ourselves. Talk about it more later.
Yeah. Robert Mitchum, I think, is becoming one of my favorite actors.
Oh, nice. What else is he?
I recently watched, I talked about Night of the Hunter, where he plays the literal devil. And that performance is so impressive.
Oh, my God. He's in Tombstone. I love that movie.
Yeah, Tombstone. He's in Dead Man, I think, was his last ever role. He looks like a mummy in that movie. But he's so funny in that. He has like one scene in that movie and it's hilarious. And then one of my favorite noirs is Out of the Past, where he plays a doomed man.
Love it.
So he's got the range,
man.
I don't know if I didn't think I'd believe him as the leading man in this one, but he plays kind of suave. I feel like he's the oldest of the husband. Like he's the only one that it feels, but I think it works. And little movie scene, I think, is kind of based off of the big, I think Lush Budget is kind of a play on these big producers, like studio heads that just put their name on everything, like David Selznick or something.
That's really funny.
But yeah, so I wasn't quite as sure of this is exactly specifically what they're spoofing with that one, but it was very Hollywood. And and the costumes, all the costumes, and the
outfits, oh, they were so good. So awesome.
And then when he dies in the funniest moment of the movie for me.
Yeah, truly hilarious.
That line read just caught me so off guard. I don't know. But and then she meets Gene Kelly and they do some musical stuff.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, this would be my third favorite of the four husbands.
Okay.
It was funny. I don't know. I was on board with it. He won me over. Like when she goes into the little cafe and sits next to him and I don't know. I'm like, oh boy, here we go again.
Yeah, I was like, oh brother, who is this guy?
But when he sings, it really, I was like, yeah, that would work on me too. It was very charming and cute.
Classic Gene Kelly.
It was a blast. I actually ended up really liking that one too.
The thing for me, I think that one's less realistic than Dick Van Dyke. Well, maybe I think both those two are both kind of a little far-fetched to me.
That's true.
Because he goes on this whole thing. That's why she falls for him. Or part of the reason why she falls for him. He's like, I had a girl once.
Yeah,
she wanted the fame. I said, nah, give me the simple life. And then as soon as anyone shows any interest in his in his performance, he's like,
that's true. It's awful hard to believe that at this small town restaurant, giving one good performance there rockets you into instant fame. but whatever. I'm willing to suspend my disbelief for that one because the musical number that they do together was so excellent. It just like, it was just perfect.
That so good. Camp classic too, in the fact that they're clearly being, at least Shirley MacLaine is being like dubbed at the beginning because you hear like the stark difference when they start really singing.
Yeah.
And then just as it gets like bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That one's obviously a spoof on the MGM musicals of the 50s and 40s. Most of them, or not most of them, but a lot also featuring Gene Kelly.
Nice.
Such as Singing in the Rain.
It was very Singing in the Rain.
The one movie that not a single person dislikes.
But, true.
That sequence was so fun.
Yeah. They really upped the camp in this one too, especially like the whole, when everything starts turning pink, I was like, that was just genius. Painting the house pink and the car pink, and then her showing up in her gigantic pink outfit with her pink wig. I was like, just eating it up. I love it.
The bit where she's wearing the black swimsuit.
It was so good.
The pink painter chases her down. Hilarious.
Truly one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. And he's painting her dogs or her bunnies pink.
Yeah.
And he's like just gone crazy. And she, there's no words said, and she shows up in that fantastic black swimsuit.
Yeah.
More people should wear swimsuits that look like that. I have never seen that before, and it was awesome.
It's a good look. It's a good, like, tanning look also.
For real. Very true. So, yeah, I loved that.
I think Lana Del Rey wrote a song about the swimsuit.
Oh, black bathing suit? That's just about that one. You know what? It really could be.
You never know.
Was that influential of a swimsuit?
I'm glad that everything turned pink because it was a great way to start the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all makes sense.
I know. Yeah, it comes back around.
And like that actual scene with Mr. Pinky's death, cross-cut with like elephants on Stampede was well done. Another one that's like well done even though you saw it coming.
For real, yeah.
Which I think is what impressed me most about this movie. Mm-hmm. I know that you said you gave it a 9 out of 10 already. Yeah. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. But I think that it really is impressive with how much you already know what you're getting into at certain points and how it still manages to win you over. When like, oh, you know what? Even though I knew that this was going to happen, it was still such a good time. Like seeing it actually happen was still nice. Like still glad.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I said, and then we get Dean Martin's final return.
Yeah.
As the janitor. With loved his it. Stupid mustache.
I like a mustache. I was down. When they first bring him back and he's a janitor, I was kind of like, okay, eye roll. I don't know if I can get down with this. But I don't know. He just kind of sold it for me. The guy just liked it. He was like, yeah, no, I think that you were kind of right all along. Like, I lost everything. Mm-hmm. I learned something from you. I learned something from freaking Henry David Thoreau. Let's bring that up again.
Yeah.
Like, now I get it. Now, like, I'm happier than ever with my simple life. And it was like, okay, yeah, here's the guy who's like already had it all and already lost it all. That's what kind of separates him from the other four. And I loved it. And then like she got everything she wanted, which was kind of this Hallmark picturesque family life, like where she got to just be in love, got to have kids, got to be domestic. It's what she wanted all along after all of these like really wild adventures.
Yeah.
Got to have like the thing that her soul kind of always had been longing for. And it was beautiful. I was so down with it. And then when they celebrate that the oil was not theirs and he just made a mistake and she's like, I love you, my failure. It's like, that rock. True love.
Yeah. All right. I'm down with this relationship, but only because Shirley MacLaine.
I was just so happy for her. She did it all.
Yeah. It ended on a good note.
It really did.
And it was a goofy, silly, campy, wonderful time.
Completely agree. Like, she just bought in to everything that came her way. Like, she was like, I am willing to live this life with you because I love you. Like, it was just awesome to me. I loved it.
Yeah. And like the whole thing about you see her at the beginning showing up and being like, I'm trying to give this money to the government.
Yeah.
I think that scene is clearly like a Marilyn Monroe moment.
Mm.
I feel like you see that in a lot of her movies where she's just like, oh, what's wrong with that? Like, can I not do this? True. You know, like,
yeah.
But I think
that's a great way to put it. She does have a what's wrong with that type of mentality about everything that she does.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
But I think that Shirley MacLaine plays it super well in this one.
She does. But
I think she has a lot of range too. Like the stuff that I've seen her in, you know, is always something different, but I think she always does well.
She's awesome. But you saying that this role was originally intended for Marilyn Monroe makes so much sense. Mm. She would have done so well in this. That's really sad. But Shirley MacLaine also did. Fantastic.
There you have it. What a way to go. What a delightful movie.
Truly. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to make Adam watch it when he gets home because he's going to love
it. Nice. I won't bump this one up to a 9 for now, but that doesn't mean that it's not going right up on my favorites list.
Yeah.
I'm in the midst of updating my favorites list on Letterboxd too, by the way. So if anyone has me on Letterboxd, go check it out in about a week or so.
Nice.
Like 2 or 3 times a year, I go in and like start from the bottom and be like, do I like this movie better than this one? And then like go all the way up. And I do it like it takes a while, but eventually I get through it. But do you recommend this movie?
Yeah, I would genuinely recommend this movie to anybody. I think it's a blast. I feel like you'll get on board with at least one of the 5 husbands portrayed in this film.
That's true, huh?
For me, it was 4 out of 5.
Only 4 out of 5. Dick Van Dyke catched this L. Honestly, I like Dick Van Dyke.
Good. I'm glad.
I feel like I've seen him in stuff from the 60s and then Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
What was he doing for those 40 years in between?
I don't know.
But,
living it up.
Anyways.
Watch him in something? No, I think I'm thinking of something else.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the guy in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I think so, yeah. Mary
for
Poppins.
Some reason, I feel like I don't like that movie. And it's because of him.
I don't like that movie I don't even know, but I just remember hating that as a child.
I also just hated it as a kid. I have been a Dick Van Dyke hater.
I will never watch it again also.
I do actually kind of want to watch it again because it's been so long and now I'm kind of intrigued, but I didn't like it as a child.
Yeah, he is the guy from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, well, that tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason I thought I liked him in this one, probably because he was competing against Dean Martin and I had a
he was just the lesser of two evils.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I think like in that specific scenario when you're in a small town,
mm-hmm.
he's got to be the small town pick. If he stayed true to his original character, I feel like it would work out. I don't know. In a Douglas Sirk movie, Dick Van Dyke would be the champ. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, my husband ranking would go Robert Mitchum, 1, Paul Newman. Yes. So same as yours, except with 1 and 2 swapped. No, Dean Martin in last. If we're doing 5, Dean Martin would be last.
Oh, Dean Martin in 4th for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke in 5th. But I respect your list. Mm. It makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Cool. Yeah, so that's What a Way to Go. I also recommend it, if that wasn't. 8 out of 10 would recommend.
9 out of 10.
And happy birthday, Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Keep up the good work. What do you want to do next week?
What day is this?
Actually, I have another idea for next week. How would you feel about watching a new movie?
I would love to watch a new movie.
Do you know The Fall Guy?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I love Ryan Gosling, so I'm down.
Friend of the podcast, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
basically, this movie seems like... So it is the guy that directed Bullet Train. But I feel like the reviews that I've seen or read from people that I trust say that it's less like Bullet Train.
Okay.
Yeah. But basically, it seems that it's going to be a movie that I'm glad that Hollywood is making, but it had a bad opening week, and that makes me sad. So I want to see if it is a movie that I think Hollywood should be making, and if we can, if we like it and can drum up, you know, some intrigue about it and get
our very wide success because we reach such a wide audience.
Exactly. Well, no, I okay. So I've gone on record on this podcast saying this. Everyone's a critic, but in a positive way, right? As an empowering statement, right? If you go watch something, your opinion that you hold to it is part of the discourse on that movie, right? So even if you tell your friends, oh, I went and saw it, I liked it. I went and saw it, I didn't like it. That's an opinion that you are sharing and is affecting the public.
Very true. I do agree.
So even though we might not get big numbers, we will be able to tell you whether it's worth it or not to go see it. And if it is worth it.
It looks fun. I'm hoping that it has kind of a similar feel to like The Nice Guys, that it sort of like brings out that side of Ryan Gosling, because I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. So basically what I've heard about it is that it's similar to Bullet Train, except more earnest and less sarcastic. At least
and less like, British, question mark?
Less British, I think.
Okay, great.
I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is also in this movie as like a character.
That's actually fine. I love him.
Okay. I wanted to see it last week. I went and saw something else instead, which I'll talk about on the wrap up, because I have a lot to say about that one. Nice. But so I was gonna kind of like loosely planning on seeing it last weekend, but I will gladly watch it this weekend instead.
Oh, me too. I wonder if it's showing at my good theater. Or I will have to go to a bad theater.
I think that'll be cool. We can do that. And then we'll have the wrap up and then maybe book club the first week of June.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Or I don't know like what my schedule will be like, because I think up until the first week of June, I should be pretty open.
Okay.
Should be good. Our book club that we're reading for book club is Dubliners by James Joyce. Another short story collection, which we've had, I think, success with in the past.
I think so, too.
So if you want to read that and add your voice to the discussion for that, either by comments or if you like actually read the book, we'll let you come on the podcast if you want. you have to take a comprehension quiz beforehand, though.
We're going to test you so you don't embarrass us.
Just so that we know that you actually read the book.
Totally.
No, not actually. But yeah, no, let us know if that's something that you're interested in, and add your voice to the discussion.
Nice.
So that's what we got coming up. Go watch What a Way to Go. It's on the Criterion channel. And if you listen to this podcast, I think you'll get a lot of mileage out of the Criterion channel, for the record.
Yeah, for real.
A lot of stuff that we watch is on there. And I think it's it really does have a great variety of like old classics, old foreign movies, like art house, European stuff, lots of old Hollywood, as well as like stuff from today that's kind of fun, different.
Totally.
So, I mean, But yeah, that's where you can find it most easily now, or to rent also.
Nice.
Next week, we'll be watching The Fall Guy, and Dubliners by James Joyce is the book. Which means all that is left to do for this episode is to recommend an album. If you're new here, every week we say, here's an album you should listen to. And here we are once again. Do you have an album to recommend for this week?
Well, because it's summertime, I have started listening to the Growlers quite a bit again. I really love the Growlers, but especially in the summer, like it just makes me feel so summery. So I think I might recommend their first album, which is called Are You In or Out? It's just so good. It's kind of hard to believe that it's their first album, like, cause it's awesome. It has my favorite Growler song on it ever, which is, Empty Bones.
Yeah. I love that song. And probably my favorite Growler song ever.
Also, it is so good. It just never, ever gets old to me. I love that song so much. I really can't believe it was on their first album ever. But yeah, this album is nice and kind of eerie and surf rock inspired. And it's just so good. It's such a unique sound. I really, really love their music. So give them a listen.
That's a beautiful pick.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That's one of my favorite albums.
It's so good.
And I think it's such a great distillation of their sound. I feel like they made that and then they like strayed from that sound in some ways better than others. But I think that one, because basically they came up with this whole concept of beach goth. And I think that album is the purest embodiment of that.
It is so beach goth. And I love that.
Yeah. And Empty Bones, just every time I listen to it, I can't help but do a little dance. Like,
I know.
Such
me too.
A groove that the song it's just hits so such a groove groovy. That impossible not to dance to, I would say.
Oh my God. It's just excellent.
My album for this week is probably one of the best double albums ever made. I'm coming to realize while thinking about this. It's Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So good. I don't think I like realized how well of like a cohesive like concept album this is before. Cause it's a lot of the songs are kind of different as far as like one's like more chill. And then the next one is like lots of heavy guitar and drums and like, And so it's like, oh, so this album is like a lot of like random different stuff. But I think it's really impressive how well it like has a cohesive theme across the whole double LP, you know, like the whole two kind of discs, while like doing so much different stuff. And I don't know if I like really realized how well it does that until I listened to the whole thing a few days ago. And I was like, you know what? This is really such a great kind of concept album. I think I would call it a concept album, honestly.
Thanks.
And yeah, the music video for I think Tonight is based off of Georges Méliès, who is a French silent film director.
Oh, cool.
And that's awesome. One of the greats. But anyway, the album as a whole, I just found like a really newfound appreciation for this week / last week. And I really wanted to share it and make sure that everyone goes and listens to it. Yeah.
It is.
Two great albums. Listen to both of these. Back to back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there you have it. What a way to go.
Fantastic movie. So glad we watched it.
Yeah, it was a good one. Me too. I think it's an underseen gem that is starting to like build up traction a little bit in certain circles, maybe, that I think everyone should go watch because I think it's one that really should get some more credit.
I agree. Especially if you claim to like camp. And camp-related things. This is the campiest movie that you've probably never seen. So
there you go. Thank you, Addy. Parentheses, Vogue.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with, or next time around, whenever it may be, with The Fall Guy.
Yay.
Which is a new movie.
Woo!
Every once in a while, we'll bust out a new movie just to show that we can do it.
We have range.
We got the range. yeah, so that'll be next time around. And Dubliners by James Joyce. Mm-hmm. And put something in the mailbag. Ask us for some recs. Give us some recs. Ask us questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or just tell us what you got going on. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. If you want to just write a diary entry in the mailbag, that's cool with us.
Do it. Yeah. And by default, it's anonymous. We don't see who you are. But if you want to sign off on it, that's cool too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's all happening. And we'll see you next time around. Thanks for listening. Do great things this week. And yeah, we both believe in you. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye now.